Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Girivar Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa. Srimad's Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Pimanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 10.10.13 Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees. A Asatakshi Mandan Dhasya Dari Driyam Param Anjanam Atmao Pamyena Bhutani Daridra Param Ikshate Asatakshi Mandan Dhasya Daridriyam Param Anjanam Atmao Pamyena Bhutani Daridra Param Ikshate Asatak Shimandandasya Asatak Shimandandasya Daridyam Param Anjanam Atmaupam Yena Bhutani Daridra Param Ikshate Asatakshi Mandandasya Asata, of such a foolish rascal, Sri Manda Andhasya, who is blinded by temporarily possessing riches and opulences. Daridriyam, poverty, Param Anjanam, the best ointment for the eyes by which to see things as they are. Atma alpamyena, with comparison to himself. Bhutani, living beings. Daridraha, a poverty-stricken man. Param, perfectly. Ikshate, can see things as they are. Translation, atheistic fools and rascals who are very much proud of wealth fail to see things as they are. Therefore, returning them to poverty is the proper ointment for their eyes, so they may see things as they are. At least a poverty-stricken man can realize how painful poverty is, and therefore he will not want others to be in a painful condition like his own. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even today, if a man who was formerly poverty-stricken gets money, he is inclined to utilize his money to perform many philanthropic activities like opening schools for uneducated men and hospitals for the diseased. In this connection, there is an instructive story called Punar Mushiko Bhava. Again, become a mouse. A mouse was very much harassed by a cat, and therefore the mouse approached a saintly person to request to become a cat. When the mouse became a cat, he was harassed by a dog. And then when he became a dog, he was harassed by a tiger. But when he became a tiger, he stared at the saintly person. And when the saintly person asked, "What do you want?" the tiger said, "I want to eat you." Then the saintly person cursed him, saying, "May you again become a mouse." A similar thing is going on all over the universe. One is going up and down, sometimes becoming a mouse, sometimes a tiger, and so on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Ramanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bija." The living entities are promoted and degraded by the laws of nature. But if one is very, very fortunate, by association with saintly persons, he gets the seed of devotional service and his life becomes successful. Narada Muni wanted to bring Nala Kuvara and Manigriva to the platform of devotional service through poverty, and thus he cursed them. Such is the mercy of a Vaishnava. Unless one is brought to the Vaishnava platform, one cannot be a good man. Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahaguna, Bhagavatam 5:18-12. And a Vaishnava never becomes a good man. Strong statement. However severely he is punished. Well, that's controversial, isn't it? But we don't mind controversy. We're an international society for controversy consciousness. Because in this world, the world is created for people who have dvesha towards the Supreme. So how you can have a good quality if you have dvesha towards the Supreme? Well, you give up the dvesha towards the Supreme and you convert it or transform it by the association of a fortunate receiver of mercy from a Vaishnava. But otherwise, mode of goodness. We'll come back to this. Some appreciation. Amongst the various places in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam where we get an inside picture of the mind of a pure devotee or the mind of Krishna. How does Krishna consider things when someone comes forward to him with devotion? How does Krishna feel? What does Krishna do? Very confidential. And here's Narada. Narada's been insulted. Now, how does he process? What are the inner contemplations of such a person? Compliments of Shukadev Goswami, we're getting the inside picture of his mind, his heart, his contemplations. Now, if you don't know all of that, it may look like it isn't. It may look like retaliation. Oh, yeah? I'll show you. One might think that. Why is he? He's a saintly person. Why is he being so harsh? Prabhupada would sometimes speak very strongly. And people would say, "Swamiji, you're sadhu. Why do you speak so harshly? Purposefully, because of circumstance, sometimes, a qualified personality like Narada Muni or Srila Prabhupada. You know, we're not on that standard, so we must not imitate. But we need to understand the heart and the mind of a pure devotee, in this case from Shukadeva Goswami. He knows the heart and the mind of Narada. He's telling us. Compassion. Even if it looks harsh. Punish. Harsh. No. Compassion. I looked up the commentary of Vishwanath and Jiva Goswami on this verse, and it's really short. And they emphasize this one word, param, in the verse, it's there twice, indicating this is the only method. The only method when someone is overly proud due to attachment to the fruits of piety. No. Something that I've said many times. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Very simple math formula. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. The operative consideration is a heart that becomes pure. Fruits of piety without a heart that's pure, one is proud. It's just the way it is. Just how material nature works. We become attached to, if not, even in this purport, Prabhupada is saying something that's doesn't always say. Because somebody, even today, people that are poor, they receive wealth, they want to do philanthropic work. Well, one might argue, people that win the lottery, their life becomes spoiled. There are statistics. They become totally ruined. Probably not everybody, but statistically, largely. So that enormous wealth, they don't have the wherewithal to handle it. Their life becomes spoiled without the details of what the studies say, how that happens, or what happens. But here Prabhupada is saying, even today, somebody that's poverty-stricken, they receive some wealth, they use it for helping other people. And the principle that's being spoken in Prabhupada's purport and our Acharya's commentary is the same. Once one has experienced the pain of poverty, there's another explanation. Once you have felt a thorn in your foot, you feel that a natural concern for other people who will get a thorn in their foot because it's painful. Ever get a thorn in your foot? I've got a thorn. the inner path around Govardhan Hill, that's a great place to get thorns in your feet. And, you know, there are people that, not that they go along and walk on the thorns so other people won't. They pick up the thorns because it's very painful. So that's the idea, is it's the only, so there's degrees of pride. And when it gets, you know, to a threshold of incorrigible level of pride, there's only one thing. That's the conclusion of Narada. That's the conclusion of Shukadeva Goswami. That's our Acharya's commentary. So now, we're not in that position. Great personalities may be in that position. So how they address that need is different for different persons. Bhaktisiddhanta had his way. Gorkishordas Babaji had his way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had his way. Different personalities have their way of addressing a great need. Members of the Hare Krishna movement, followers of Srila Prabhupada, have different ways, some less effective, some more effective. But the principle, the Vaishnava principle, is compassion. Whatever it is that we do should be in the humble mood of service. That's a phrase I like to use because it's our teaching. Not just service, but the humble mood of service. So even if somebody is really bad, what's the best way to be in service to this person? Let's go to Prahlad Maharaj. He's another great personality. Not just great, perfect personality. His compassion, over the top, like we can't imitate, but compassion to the, it's different to the different audiences, the students, the teachers, his father. Undeviating compassion, fearless, not foolish, fearless and appropriate for the audience. Why did he speak this way to Rani Kashipu, knowing what the consequence would be? Sure enough, the consequence was predictable. But he, his compassion knew no boundaries. Fools like you. Kill him. And then after all of that, please, my father, it's not in the Bhagavatam specifically, but it's in the commentary that says, I'm going to cut off your head and let this Vishnu come and protect you. That's not in a verse of the Bhagavatam, but it's in commentary. And so Lord Nrisingadev protected him, cut off his head. And after all of that, and you know, his severe, then Prahlad says the reason that you killed him was to uphold the word of your devotee because you're Bhakta Vatsala. Because Narada said to Kayadu, your son will not be defeated by enemies. Boom. Prahlad said, it's only because you're holding the word of your devotee. Now, there may be other reasons without a word of the devotee, but that's Prahlad's evaluation. The compassion of the personality of Godhead upon his devotee, and the capacity that the personality of Godhead invests in a devotee to exercise compassion. It's inestimable. Look at us. Who are we? You know, where did we come from? What's the background? You know, some of us in this room had more pious and some had less pious backgrounds. It's not that piety creates our good fortune. That's illusion. Piety doesn't create piety and piety and piety and piety, and then you get to bhakti. No, it's in another dimension. It's mercy, and that mercy carries us to another dimension. One of the key, because I just spent a lot of time with Prahlad's teachings, I'm kind of up to my ears in Prahlad's teachings. It's an essential characteristic. There's no material qualification. Conversely, no material disqualification to come to devotional service and come to the topmost standard of devotional service. No material qualification. There is a qualification, mercy and receiving the mercy. There's the broadcaster of the sound vibration, and you have to have your receiver on. And you have to want to know what's the message and bring it inside and live it. That's what's required. The Narada didn't choose to instruct these two because they were beyond the threshold of instruction. There are others that Narada chose to give instruction. He's not a cookie cutter acharya. He customized messages. In this case, this is the only thing. Now, the only thing does not guarantee that the person deprived of their wealth, their heart will become pure. Look what happened to Daksha part one. Whew. Lost his head. Then he got a goat's head. The acharyas say he died of humility. He was so embarrassed. Not humility, embarrassment. Previously he was beautiful. Now he's got a goat's head. He died. And then he came back, Daksha part two. Proud of his piety and the fruits of his piety. Problem didn't go away. Just because he was punished. No guarantee. You have to receive mercy. Even you get it, you have to receive it. Recognize what it is. After Narada came with Daksha part two, taking the 10,000, 1,000 sons, he knew Daksha would be furious, and sure enough, and Daksha insulted him, and he stuck around. Doesn't give the detail what happened after that, but he wanted to deliver Daksha. That's the compassion of Narada. It's tough dealing with, we don't have Narada's capacity, that's for sure, or Prahlad's capacity, that's for sure, or Prabhupada's capacity, that's for sure. But there's a charge given to us to receive, bring it inside, live the life of a Vaishnava, and to our capacity, each of us different, to our capacity extend what we've received. And when we do that, there's plenty of examples in Prabhupada's writings, that he's in our own experience. People will insult you. Some people are nice. Just in the past 24 hours, I had some nice experience with people that were really nice. Just like at the airport yesterday. There's one fellow with, moving the traffic with his little red thing with lights on it. Really cold out there, up and down and up and down, lots of traffic. He came over after like 10 minutes of standing at the curb, said, looked at me wearing my dhoti. You probably got a lot of stories. Stories. He's smiling and nodding and, probably a lot of truths you've understood too. Not an educated man, but a simple fellow. And I said, 48 years. He went, whoa. You have to tell me sometime. Tell me what you've learned. It was social. But, some people are at the other end of the spectrum. So just by being a devotee, many of the persons here are living in the temple, and some are living outside the temple and working. And so we meet different people in different ways as we move about the world. And there's the whole spectrum. Consistent should be the heart of the devotee that wants to represent Srila Prabhupada, represent this elevated message of the Bhagavatam, and we're not qualified. But we have to become qualified, because people will judge the whole Hare Krishna movement and its message based upon our speech, our character, our conduct. Isn't it? It's really important. Don't hide. Don't stay in the four walls. Even if you stay in the four walls, people come through the door. And then how do you interact with them? Or anyway, without going into guest reception. And then how do we behave with ourselves, amongst ourselves? Dear devotees, people notice. Some people say, oh, you people are so happy amongst one another, I want to be part of this. Some people say the opposite. I see there's dissension amongst you, and I think I'd rather stay out there. Our service is to bring people to Krishna. First, it starts with you go to Krishna through sound and make the heart pure, etc. And live the life of the teachings of the Bhagavatam. So now let's go to the Punar Mushika Bhava. Interesting that Prabhupada presents this in the purport, because I wouldn't have thought to present it in this context. But it's, you know, up and down. Just like a child on a Ferris wheel. And they pay to get on, and then they want to go back on again. And we just keep, so as Prabhupada says, this is going on. And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmita. So how do you interrupt that? Mercy of a Vaishnava. Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai. Two varies in the purport. Very, very fortunate. Mercy of Guru and Krishna. Guru doesn't just mean our Diksha Guru. Guru means Guru, the function of a representative of Krishna. By the mercy of a representative of Krishna, mercy. And who are we? Little insignificant. Yeah. But bearers of, if we've received, to the degree that we have received, bearers of mercy. However tiny it is, it's dramatic. The effectiveness of Krishna's mercy coming through disciplic succession to us. So that stops this Purnamushika Bhava cycle. At least the potential is there. Now back to the message of this verse. What if someone is too much attached to their piety and the fruits of their piety, specifically wealth in this case? But you know, their pride wasn't just wealth. Somehow treasurers seem to have wealth. Don't know how it happens, but the treasurer of heaven has a lot of wealth, and they're the sons of the treasurer of heaven, so they've got a lot of wealth. And the treasurer of heaven, Kuvera, is a great devotee of Lord Shiva, so they have pride. You know, we're great devotees. We're the sons of one who's a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So there, pride. And whatever else, at least those two things. Good birth, wealth, something. We're recipients of Lord Shiva's mercy, our family. So, pride, over the top. That was Narada's quick evaluation. And take it away. For quite some time. Now, it's not done yet, because after take it away, he gives another benediction. Pecum trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna will deliver you. It's not over, just punishment. It's deliverance. And because Narada said like that, Krishna, at the end of the Damodar Leela, he turned his attention to fulfill the words of Narada. Because Narada said, Krishna will deliver them. Okay, now I've got some service to my devotee, Narada. I have to deliver these two. Not has to. It's his bhakta-vatsala spirit. The loving spirit for his devotee. So the devotee, one more time, we need to be conscious. That's a good start. Become conscious of being representative of our founder Acharya, the disciplic succession, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna. Conscious. Like in Bhagavad Gita, you know, the discussion that Krishna has with Arjuna, you're from great lineage and you have to conduct yourself in such a way it lends respect to your great lineage. You don't behave like this. You perform your duty. Great soul. In a great line. Don't bring infamy to your great line. We should not bring infamy to the great line. Or we should make our best effort, put it positive. We should make our best effort to be representatives of our founder, Acharya, disciplic succession, Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. That's big. That's mercy. And being the representative, it's sobering. It's not cavalier. It's a life of responsibility. That's good. So, after this little seminar thing happens, we'll continue. I guess it's Wednesday morning or something. Any discussion? Subal.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. You mentioned in the beginning of the class also, I think it's in the verse, Narada Muni, is it Narada Muni? No. Anyway, Narada Muni is mentioning that if you become poor, then you're able to appreciate or have develop this empathy and understanding of what is that type of suffering.
Yes.
And so as a principle of develop this empathy.
Yes.
Do we have to, how we get to, I mean, in situations that is foreign to us, that is a different culture, different circumstance, different karma, to be able to understand this principle, to develop empathy, to be able to understand people's experiences. It's not a simple thing.
It's actually quite a
very difficult thing to do, to break through cultural barriers.
How-to question?
Yes, best way to do that.
Well, here's three thoughts. One, it's natural, this is a natural quality for the soul, so we just have to get to the platform of the soul, and then that natural quality of the soul comes out. Two, super soul provides intelligence for one who wishes to be in the humble mood of service. Then Krishna will give the intelligence. And a third is just practical experience in life. Vijnana, practical experience in life. So, for example, supposing we start, you are mixing with different audiences, and different audiences have different mindsets, cultural, etc., etc., sensibilities. You are not experienced yet in this one, that one, the other one. However, because you have this desire to be sensitive and empathic to their cultural innuendos, subtleties, you may make some mistakes, but Krishna will teach you. That's this third item, this practical experience of life. Go back, then super soul, and go back. Come to the platform of the soul. Easier said than done, but that's our teaching. We don't neglect the mind. We don't neglect the senses. We try to purify them. Okay? Dravida, Prabhu.
If I have two things. The first one is just a little comment on the question and discussion.
Sure.
It seems like in the Vedic culture, you have this tradition where the members, especially of the higher three classes, they go to the Gurukul, and probably in the Gurukul, even the king's son will have a very menial position.
Yes.
And I think that's meant to kind of breed out the natural tendency to become very proud of wealth.
So there's, and power, etc.
Yeah, yeah. To get, I mean, it doesn't always
character.
Work, but that's the ideal.
Character development.
The other thing is just a comment on seeing how this principle works in the world today.
Which one?
The world, the principle of the verse, where if you're brought low and you're made poor, then you'll be more empathetic with the poor. But if you're just the son of Kuvera and you're a playboy from birth, you know, then you're gonna be proud of your wealth and you know.
Yes.
In today's world, of course, I'm not going to mention any names, but we have that perfect example of overweening wealth that has caused pride and insensitivity, let's put it that way, amongst
yes,
the leadership.
I think I know.
But in a broader sense,
we won't mention
because
any names.
Those of us of a certain age, you and me, can remember all the way back into the 60s when the whole planet almost blew up in 1962. I think you're old enough.
Yeah.
And what came out of that was that, you know, Kennedy and Khrushchev, they'd been through World War II. Kennedy especially had you know, that whole thing with the PT boat. He said it was in the middle of the world. And they had a very vivid memory of what this mass death and destruction was. And this kind of, at the last moment, it kind of, you know, made them sober, and they backed off from this craziness in the Cuban Missile Crisis. Today, everybody's in the leader. Nobody went through World War II. It's too far back. And so there's a certain intoxication with the power that you have, with the weapons and everything. And we're at a very dangerous position now,
yes,
which is the whole leadership. And precisely because without the experience, you don't have the empathy, you don't have the feeling. So, this the truth of this verse is playing out today in real time.
Just a sociological comment. The chairman of the Communist Party in China had a very interesting upbringing. Without the detail, you know, there's lots written about him because I visit China. So he was born in an aristocratic family, but when Mao did his thing, he was in a work camp for a long time with nothing. And, you know, what's he doing now? And then, you know, the fellow in North Korea, you know, born in a special family, but, you know, the whole country, extremely poor. So, the rule has its exceptions. I'm just making some comment. The world is, I agree with the principle, worldwide. Then there's some exceptions to that rule.
You were in New York. The most amazing thing that a president, somehow I can't mention his name in front of the Didi, but we all know who he is, that when the first Rath Yatra in New York was happening, they
yes.
needed a place to build those
yes.
those carts.
Yes.
And it was his land that
yes,
he allowed
I know.
Him to sit
I'm
on.
I'm aware.
I don't know if anyone knows that. That was kind of
yeah.
amazing.
He did some soivas to Krishna. New York soivas to Krishna. Anyone else? Shravan, take the microphone. Yes, you can speak.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned about overly pride.
Mentioned about over pride.
Over pride. Fruit of piety plus heart that is impure equal to proud. I want to understand more about heart that is impure.
Anything. Anything other than Shuddha Bhakti. It's a long list. Kurunandini?
Maharaj, you said something about piety.
I did, yes.
Yeah, that is piety. I could not catch the last point you said. It cannot accumulate to get the service. You said devotional service.
I said what? Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Yeah.
He, you know, his, my understanding, keeping it real simple, is humble persuasion. He would sit and spend time with people that are really puffed up. I don't know if it's a fact, but you know, Bhakti Siddhanta took exception to that strategy that he would use to help people go beyond their contamination. He was, you know, the Sringa Guru. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was humble persuasion guru. They had a different strategy, a different approach. They have a different person. That's, you know, the respect that they had for one another was not compromised by the fact that they had different strategy or different personality. Because the spiritual strength of both, amazing. Yes? Okay?
Yeah, then question is coming. So there is a nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Vrashta Vijayati. That, so according to that sloka, then how can you explain that?
How can I explain given, what?
How they are given chance to get the devotional service, you see, by getting birth in a nice family and a rich family. And
I don't understand the question.
So,
anybody else understand the question?
According to that verse. Yes. Yes.
Well, they made some choices. Free will is operative at every moment. Let's go back to the first sentence of the purport. Some people that receive wealth, they use it for philanthropic work. Some people that receive wealth use it for other things. There's free will. It's fruits of piety can be properly or improperly used. Okay? Free will. Okay? A little right in front of you. It's off. Yeah, okay. Go. Right. slowly, please.
No, I can't go.
We have a rasa here. He's like, ask these very involved questions. Go ahead.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. My question and comments related to basically your whole class and what Prabhupada mentions. He quotes his verse in the purport, Bhakti Bhata Beach. This phrase reminded me of one of my, a very powerful quote. It says, a seed cannot germinate in the light. It must be buried in the ground. In much the same way, we can't grow in the spotlight of pride only by being buried in humility. And you were mentioned in the pastime Prahlad where Hiranyakashipu was devoted to the spotlight and Prahlad was devoted to the inner light. That's why he could grow and Hiranyakashipu couldn't. So my question is actually related to the fact that Hiranyakashipu also became a great, you could say a tree, a great powerful tree when he was humble. When he approached Brahma, he was very humble. He needed Brahma's power and he became a powerful tree.
He wasn't humble at all.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was counterfeit humility.
He was greedy.
Yeah, that's my question, was counterfeit humility. But we see that when people have counterfeit humility, they may reach an exalted.
Hey, but he wasn't humble. You're saying he's humble. I disagree. He was greedy. He had capacity for austerity. Mm-hmm. It's out of this, you know, extraordinary. But what was behind, it wasn't humility. Ambition, greed, power. You know, atheistic spirit. I want to become, I'm the ruler of the universe and I want to become the ruler forever. Equals I'm God. That's what I want. Not humble. Yes, he was approaching someone. That's true. What was his mood of approaching someone? In this case, Brahma. I want power. I can't give you the power you want. Well, da 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 da. Okay. His intelligence was stolen by illusion. Now I'm God. I'm infallible. Not so. Intelligence stolen by illusion. Mayaya pratigyana. Wasn't humble. Yes, he went to someone for something, but it wasn't in the mood of being humble. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.